Good morning. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. All you weary, weary Ohio State fans. Darn. But the joy of the Lord. Amen. So a couple of announcements. I wondered why people were giving me cards this morning. I was like, what is going on? I said, it's not my birthday. What is happening? David said, well, have you looked at the bulletin? I said, no, I haven't looked at it. He's like, well, get it together. Look in front, look at the bulletin. So thank you for the cards. Very much. That was very unexpected. This isn't my church. I don't know what's going on. Just kidding. But thank you. It was a great surprise. Thank you. I love you guys so much. You guys are everything. You guys are. I love you. I know. You should know. The chili cook-off next Saturday, October the 19th at 4. And if you don't like chili, that's okay. I'm sure there's going to be some other things that you can eat there too. Maybe not. I don't know. But pick the beans out if you don't like them. That's what I used to have to do, right, Dad? Pick the beans out. But it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to have tractor rides and just enjoying what the Lord has blessed us with out at Vesper Hills and just celebrating all of you that have helped take care of that property. And we just give you thank you, thank you, thank you so much. All the hands that work out there to keep it up, we thank you. And everybody that has done it throughout the generations, because that it's a gift and it just continues to bless a lot of people, not just us here at this church, but there's been a lot of people within the community too that have been able to go out there and celebrate family events and everything out there. I think that's covers it. School. Some of you may know I started Ashland University. Right. I'm in my 7th week. So I'm in engaging text and context. And the professor, he really needs to do audiobooks. He has such a soothing voice. And it just gives you so much comfort. And he dings me. He goes after it. But I don't care because of how he talks to me. I'm just like, you can criticize me all you want. I just love his voice. But the whole point of engaging the text, he says, is that it will lift the veil of our spiritual blindness. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I want that veil lifted, Lord. Lift the veil of spiritual blindness. And as I'm doing these assignments, and I told Mom and Dad, I said, I never knew I was so spiritually blind. I never knew I was so spiritually blind. But I have a high B. I have a high B. Thank you for your prayers, because it is not of my own effort. It's not of my own effort. But this week we did interpretive questions. And we always have a practice assignment, and then we have the big one that's worth 100 points the next week. So a practice and then 100 point. He told me I did so well on my practice assignment, I was exempt from the 100-point assignment this week. So I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, thank you. And I told him, I'm like, thank you, Dr. Overland. This was such a blessing, because I was pulling my hair out. It's rough. But I just want to thank you for your prayers and your support that you guys and Paul for taking a Sunday a month that I can get some stuff done and keep on track. So keep praying for your pastor for her spiritual blindness. Thank you. So I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemy. Lord, you light my lamp. My God illuminates my darkness. With you, I can attack a barricade. And with my God, I can leap over a wall. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Lord, as we prepare to enter into your presence this morning, calm our spirit, calm our mind in order for us to fully focus on you, on lifting our praise up to you and receiving from you this morning, from your word. And we ask that those that aren't with us this morning, that I pray that you seek them, that they seek you, dwell in your presence, bring healing where there is an illness, allow your comfort to embrace them when they're struggling, and send your revelation to those that have gone astray. And don't let them go too far for too long, Lord. Allow our hearts and our minds to be prepared to receive and to respond to your word this morning. Transform us, Lord. Transform our hearts. Start a revival within us in order for a revival to happen all around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 And it's time for worship and praise. And what's praise, church? It is not quiet. And now is not the time to be quiet.
Our greeting today is taken from Psalm 106, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who could ever praise him enough? There is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show your favor to your people. Come near and rescue me. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are in our presence right now. You are here sitting beside us, alongside us, everywhere we go. We just have to reach out for you because we know that you will never let go. You're after us and you want us to be there to worship you. And sometimes we stray. Our lives get away from us and we start focusing on ourselves or on people around us. And we forget about you, but you don't leave us. You're there for us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for allowing us to give gifts back to you so that we can reach out further in this kingdom here on earth so that we can show others your love. So bless us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I just want to know, how's everybody liking the weather? Oh, love it. Yeah, that's all right. You get up in the morning and your toes are frozen, right? Because it's a little cold. And then you get up and it warms up during the day. But all those are in God's plan. Because things have to change, right? And each season changes something. You know, we talked about, I saw the light, no more darkness. And I got to thinking about, up in Alaska, don't they have like long days? And short nights, or just the opposite, long, long nights and short days. Wow. Would you like to be sitting at the controls figuring out how that has to happen? Not me. Not me for sure, because I would fail miserably. I would fail miserably. But you know what? God has you and this world in the palm of his hand. He's taking care of us whether we know he's taking care of us or not. Because every time we fall, guess who's there to pick us back up, to set us on the right path, to help us to walk down the roads that are difficult, to help us to love others in the way that he loves us. You know, that's a difficult task because I know, like everybody else, There are times when you just don't think you like somebody. Maybe it's because of something they said. Maybe it's because some place they've hurt you. But you know what? If we love like God loves, it wouldn't matter. Because no matter what, He's there for you. He loves you no matter what. He will be there by your side when you come back to Him. And you leave Him and you come back to Him and you leave Him. Now, I'm not saying we leave Him, because as Christians, I hope that I'm never standing here on my own and that God's always there. But sometimes our thoughts aren't concentrating on Him. So one of the ways we do that is to dig into His Word. When we dig into His Word, He's always there. Is there any place in the Bible that said God left Him? Anywhere at all that God left the Israelites or God left everyone in the world? I don't think you'll find it. I don't think you find it, because He's always there. So let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and let's ask God to help us dig into your Bible this week, find out where He is, and that He's always there. Amen? Let's pray the prayer. "This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I'm a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Amen.
Amen. Real quick, David had to take Joan to the hospital because she was having some chest pains. So we're going to pray for Joan before we start the service. Heavenly Father, we ask in this moment, while David is taking Joan to the ER for chest pains, Lord, that You be with him and that You be with Joan, Lord, that You regulate her heart, that You regulate her blood sugar and whatever is going on with her body, Lord. We know that You are our great physician, You are our healer, and be with the doctors and the nurses that care for her and figure out what it is that's going on. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and have a blessing on your word this morning. And to the hearers, amen? We're going to be in Joshua 5 this morning, so you have time to get there. Verses 13 through 15, Joshua 5. I don't preach politics. I don't like talking about politics. It's not my purpose. I'm not an influencer, especially in that area. It isn't what God has called me to do as a pastor. And sometimes it bothers me that pastors will use their role to push their political points of view onto people, onto congregations, especially when they're calling one side or the other Satan or whatever. So last week we talked about red button issues. We have a lot of red button issues, don't we, in this culture, in our society? Well, your pastor's going to be talking about a red button issue today. Red alert. 23 days. We have 23 days until the election. And I hope you all do vote. I hope you all are registered voters. Especially, we as Christians do have a responsibility of voting. So, I listened to Dr. Tony Evans, and he has a series, a book that he's written, Kingdom Voting. And this isn't the first time I've delivered this message, and I just think it's fitting for the season that we are in. The time of history that we're in, that we're reminded of it, especially 23 days from an election. And I know we're entering in shark-infested waters when I bring up voting and elections, but the message I felt was one that we need to hear, to reflect on, And for some of us, reset our political view. There's nothing wrong with my political view. Okay. So what is our mission here at Faith Church? As followers of Jesus Christ and as members of his church, our mission is to build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, right? That is what our mission is. It's just like Jesus, isn't it? Wasn't that Jesus' mission as well? Was to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And this doesn't stop at the voting booth. Our mission, our focus, is to build God's kingdom in every aspect of our lives. At work, at home, in government, building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And when it comes to the subject of politics, it feels more and more, there's red alerts, there's little bombs. Every election year, we say more and more, this is the most important election in the history of our country. Now, we can look back, Abraham Lincoln, that was a pretty important election, wasn't it? Every election is a pretty important election. You know, there's that underlining fear, democracy is at stake in this election. And that could very well be the case. Guess what? God only knows, doesn't he? God only knows. And when it comes to the question about voting, it's easy for it to become a toxic conversation. People have taken their sides. They are dedicated to their views, to their opinions, their perspective, a mindset, an orientation. This mission of building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, even when it comes to voting, it's eluded us, causing us to be divided within our culture, and as we know, divided in our church. And if we're not going to get it right, if the church can't even get it right, nothing else is going to change. Nothing else is going to get affected, because God's going to work through his church to change. God's working through the body of Christ, which is his church, to see the change in the culture, to see the change in society, building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody has an agenda, don't they? Everybody has an agenda. The Democrats have an agenda. The Republicans have agenda. Social groups have an agenda. And it isn't any different with us as followers of Jesus Christ. Guess what? Whether you like it or not, you have an agenda too. And your agenda is building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's your agenda. Period. Aligning with God's divine role. Aligning with God's comprehensive role, his authority over every part of our life, his ways, being obedient to him, our agenda. And like I said, until we get it right, until the church gets it right, we're not going to see it in our culture. We're not going to see it in our neighborhoods. We're not going to see it in our homes and city hall, because it starts small and then it grows out. And that's how we should be voting. Not political parties, political, social agendas. And this is going to cause some of you to start, you know, get a little stern in your seat. It's a little uncomfortable. I'm going to need some Alka-Seltzer or some Tums before we have lunch. Because I don't like talking about this. I don't know what she's going to say. Where's she going with it? Election day. As Christians, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to partner with God by expanding his role. That we include who he is, his person, his policies that he gives us in his word to affect the earth that we live on, to affect the government that rules over us, the authority he has given our leaders. So how does God vote? How does God vote? Committed Christians wanting to glorify God, to see the building of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So how would God vote? Joshua 5, starting with verse 13. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemy?" Joshua is on the brink of the Battle of Jericho. God has promised him victory. If we read in chapter 1, the Lord says, "Be strong and courageous. You will have the land I swore to their fathers to give them as their inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous, and observe carefully the whole instruction of my servant Moses. Do not turn from it. I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The Lord's already promised him victory, but there's something that Joshua has to do. And the Lord's coming to Joshua, and Joshua sees him. "Are you for us or are you against us?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in worship and asked him, "What does my Lord want to say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did that. And may God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. And I am so sorry if you're disappointed, if you thought the pastor was going to get up here and tell you whether you should be voting Democrat or Republican. Wah, wah, wah. Who are you for? So Joshua sees the man ready for war. He's glorious. He's all warriored up. He's all got that shiny war suit on. He's ready for battle. He's got his sword drawn. So much so that Joshua's like, "Whoa, I need to know. Because if this guy is for us, man, we got it. But if he is against us, we're going to have some trouble. This is a bigger thing than what I thought it was if he's against us. So I need to know how I'm going to go about this battle. I need to know who he's for." We know that this is Jesus incarnate. We know that this is God, because whenever an angel has come to a person in the Bible, they don't take off their shoes. They don't worship the angel, right? They don't worship the angel. And the angel says, "Do not fear, for I am a messenger of the Lord." That's not what this man said. He said, "Take your shoes off, Joshua. This is holy ground. Bow. Reverence me." And the Lord said, "Neither. I'm neither conservative. I'm not a liberal. I'm neither, Joshua. I'm operating on a whole other level. Israel, you may be my people," right? Understand that. Israel is God's people. They have been set apart to be his own people, his country. "Even though you're my people, we share a covenant together, but I'm not with you just because of that reason. Just because you call out my name, that doesn't mean I'm with you, no matter what. Because what's our God have? Our God has standards. He has rules. He has laws. And he takes them very seriously. He is a very just God. He has to be. He's a very holy God. He has to be, because we are not. And I'm not on Jericho's side either. They hardly know my name, but I'm neither. I'm not voting for either one of you." He's an independent. God is an independent. Just because you're a Christian and just because you belong to Israel doesn't mean he's on your side and he's not for the other person. He's the God of the mountain and he's the God of the valley. A lot of people think that just because we're Christians that God is on their side instead of being concerned with making sure that they are on the side of God, right? God's aligning himself with us. Instead of we as Christians, we as human beings align ourselves with God. And thank God God doesn't change. Thank God he doesn't change with my wavering emotion, my wavering thought and anger. Y'all would be in so much trouble. So would my children. I'm for neither. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. God's only going to vote for himself. He is only going to vote for himself. And where in the Bible does it show this? That God is an independent. Exodus. We can start there. The road in the wilderness. Yes, Israel was God's chosen people, but because of their disobedience and rebellion, they were punished. The book of Judges, it says the dark years of religious compromise and moral decay. There was no divine standard of operating in his nations because the people were quickly forgetting the rules of the covenant. And it says everybody did whatever seemed right to him. Wow. It's a cycle of disobedience and discipline in the book of Judges. And just because they were God's people, God did not exclude them from the discipline, learning a lesson, getting it right. Try again. I love you. I'm never going to leave you. And I love you so much. You got to learn a lesson. Then they'd repent, they'd get it right, and they'd do it all over again. And we can look at the rulers in the Bible. They weren't all for God. They still conquered Israel. Israel was still taken into exile by all these other rulers. They weren't Yahweh followers, but God still allowed them to do it, didn't he? Nebuchadnezzar, little Nebi. Grant swears he's going to name our dog Nebi. It's like, why would you? I don't know why he liked Nebuchadnezzar. I think he liked the story of the furnace, but I'm like, you're focusing on the wrong character there, buddy. Ezekiel and Daniel tell us that Nebuchadnezzar was the sword of the Lord, the judgment against Israel. Guess what? God, he can work through anyone, even the enemies of Israel, even the kings that were against Israel. God can use them to get his work done. And if it was with discipline because of Israel's disobedience, then he was going to use that king to do it, to get Israel back on track because they were doing whatever they wanted to do. They had lost sight of God. They forgot who he was. Did it hurt? Yeah. Yeah, it did. It was not comfortable. King Cyrus, he didn't know God. He wasn't a chosen people. Yet God used him. He liberated God's people. Actively assisted the Jews in rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says. He didn't worship God. But yet God used him to do the work on earth as it is in heaven to get his temple built. How in the world? Only God can do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have an opponent in your mind. And you have a winner in your mind. But guess what? God's going to use either one of them to get his job done. Whether he wants judgment on us to learn a lesson because we're just not getting it, his will be done no matter what because he's neither. He's for himself. He's for his glory. Whatever is going to get his will on earth done, that's what's going to happen. Now, does that negate us from doing what our civic and Christian responsibility is to go to the voting poll? Absolutely not. The voting booth? No. But I'm just telling you, we are not called to worship an R or a D. Your allegiance should not be solely on a Democrat, and it should not solely be on a Republican, because neither of them are going to get it right. it is impossible for you or for me to fulfill every box on God's righteous list in his holy list. And there is no political person that's going to be able to do it either. I'm just saying. And I know I'm not going to give you the answer that you want this morning, but I hope I can guide you. Here's a big one, okay? When you look at God's standard and you're going to test it to what the Word of God says, okay, what's a big issue? What's a big voting issue? Abortion. So what do? We pick up our Bible and we say, what does God say about human life? What does he say about human life? He says that he created them, every one of them, in his image. Okay? It says in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Before he knitted us. Now, am I saying tragedies do not happen? That's not what I'm saying. Am I saying awful things don't happen? That's not what I'm saying. When a woman's life is in jeopardy, when there has to be life-saving action because there's something wrong with the pregnancy, we got to dig down a little deeper, don't we? That's a big one. But I know that having a mobile abortion clinic at a convention, I don't think God would checkmark that box. I don't think that's for God. Okay? So we can cross a line out of that. Just go down the list, important issues. I'm going to talk about another important issue concerning your pastor, so you're just going to have to forgive me on this. Okay? Say yes. Thank you. So, since we are created in the image of God, that's in the creation story in Genesis. God, we are created a little lower than the angels, okay? He gave over to us the authority to rule over creation. We have such an awesome responsibility of our Creator. The creation that he breathed into life, that he formed by his very word. He has instructed us as human beings to be caretakers of his earth. All things below the sea, all things above, in flying in the air, we are caretakers of God's earth. Caretakers. And when the Bible says he had given them dominion over them, given them rule, that does not mean we are supposed to be abusive or oppressive to creation. Okay? Here's what it is. We are not to worship creation. Creation is not supposed to be taken a higher priority over you and I. It's flipped somehow, right? We are to respect God's creation, respect the earth, not just take every resource God has given and exploit it. That is a sin. That's in the Bible. But we are not to hold creation over human life. We are over creation. We have been given that authority. So when bees invade my home, okay, personal experience. I need you guys to know this. When bees invade my home and I'm told you can't do anything because they're a protected species, they can invade your dwelling, your property. You don't have a right to protect your property. I think that's part of the Constitution. I'm allowed to protect my personal property and I can't because of an insect. I'm just saying, something's wrong. How did we get here? Well, they're an endangered species. We depend on the bee to pollinate our food. Guess what? I know that's fake news. through all of this. Do you know that the American Indians did not depend on honeybees to pollinate the food they ate? They didn't. They're not even originated in America. They were brought over by a monk. I'm being serious. The American Indians depended on wasps. They depended on butterflies. They depended on other insects for their pollination. I think we'd be just fine if you killed these bees. Do you see what I'm saying? How things are just opposite. I'm not going to squash a bee for no reason. I'm not going to kill a bee for no reason. I think they're great. I've learned so much about them, which is another sermon you're going to hear once I get it formed. I can't wait because I keep thinking, God, why did this happen? Why did you allow these bees to take over? So those are two important issues, at least in my book, because I have personal experience with one of them. Okay? Abortion, creation is not over human rights. I'm just saying. So excuse your pastor for that tangent. But God is running the show. Take that point. This is God's show. And he's going to use whoever he wants to get his job done. If that is a ruler that does not follow him, we have examples in his word where he used them. Now, was it rough? Was it hard? Was it oppressive? Yes, it was. It was not easy for the Israel people. But it got them back to God. It got them to repent. It got them to repent and turn back. And he used them to get the temples built, to get the Jerusalem wall back up. God showed favor on his appointed people during that time. God still worked. Okay? Whether it was an R or whether it was a D. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules the nations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, for the people he has chosen. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Republican or Democrat, the Lord rules over all. Okay? So, how does God vote? He votes for himself. Anything that is going to bring him glory, honor, and praise, that is what God's going to go vote for. Anything that is going to build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, that's what God's going to go vote for. So if you want to align your thinking, you want to align your vote with what God says, you pick some hot topic issues, you write them down, you look for them in the Bible. Okay? Promise? 23 days. Okay? We got a big day coming. And then I'm going to take a tally of who you voted for. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Just remember, Jesus is the Savior of the world. It isn't going to be Kamala, and it's not going to be Donald Trump that's going to save you. Save us. We already have a Savior. He died on the cross for our sin. He rose up out of that grave for our redemption. We already have a Savior. Right? Mic drop. And if you spend as much time being Jesus's hands and feet as you complaining, grumbling, you're going to see more change than you would doing that. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We thank you for your word, that it can be a light onto our feet, that you illuminate the paths for us. And yeah, it takes some digging. You know, we have to search for it. We truly have to want it in order to find it, because that's our way of just showing you how much we want you involved in our lives, that we want you a part. We want to partner with you in everything that we do, and especially in this most important time of our country. And I hope today that we leave here and we understand and we remember, you know what? Everybody has an agenda, but we have the most important agenda. Our agenda has been appointed by God Most High. And our agenda is building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And every part of our life should reflect it, especially when we go to the voting pool. It's no exception. You don't exclude anything. I pray that you and your glory come before any political party, because you demand to be first and you will not tolerate anything else. We got to get that right. You're number one. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for giving us a way to bring harmony and peace to our chaotic, out of control world through Jesus Christ. And Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Right now, as the collective body of Jesus Christ, you have no rule, you have no authority. This evil schemes have no power because Jesus took that away from you when he died on the cross and defeated you and rose up out of that grave. We have a Savior, a mighty, mighty Savior that's already conquered this world. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
God told Joshua, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid. We already know the ending to this book, right? We already know the ending. So no matter who is going to be in office, it does not change the ending of this book. Amen? Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is our Savior. We already know the ending to the book. And guess what? He wins. Right? We win. We win because he wins. Just saying. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, in the present, and beyond. And that's Jude. That's in the Bible. Amen? Amen. What are you going to do? Thank you. You're going to vote, right? Okay. So you go out back in his great, great love as you build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.